Thank you, Brother Fraser. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's the one that deserves all the praise. Oh, what a time we're having. Wouldn't it be something if we could just stay in camp meeting all the time? Amen. Just be with brothers and sisters in the Lord and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. It's been a great day. I've been blessed. I've been ministered to in all of the services and activities today. The prayer meeting this morning, God touched my heart, my life. In the morning Bible study, I was touched by the Word of God. That's right. As Pastor Fraser taught us from the parables. This afternoon, our brother blessed us with a message with the Word of God. He encouraged me to run on. The fellowship today has been wonderful. The food's been excellent. We've just had a great time. We really ought to be dancing in the aisles already for the great things God's done today. But He's got more for us tonight. And I can promise you there's a work that God wants to do in this service. I want to preach to you the Word of God that He's laid on my heart. I want you to respond. I want to see God move in these altars. That's what it's all about. As the Word of God mixed with faith brings results. And those results are eternal. Hallelujah. I don't think we're long for this world. I mean that. If you're ever going to get with God like you ought to be, you need to do it now. Don't need to wait. Don't need to put it off. But you need to make things right with God. I just appreciate so much your hospitality. You're inviting us to come and being a part of your great meeting. I realize the preachers, you know, all around the world, the country and the world that you could have here tonight for these nights. But you've asked me to come. And I'm humbled by that. And I'm going to do my best to just bring you the Word of God. Preach you the truth from God's Word. If I preach the Word, I will preach truth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You know, I was preaching Sunday night. Told the congregation, you know, we say that God speaks truth. God speaks truth. But that's not exactly right. God is truth. Anything that comes from God is truth. Amen. A liar can just mess up and tell the truth sometimes. But God is truth. If it comes from God, it's true. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. So that's what we want to get into tonight in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. We're just going to look at an old story, one of the great prophets of old, and preach to you out of our heart tonight. Amen. I appreciate the Holy Ghost. Many of us are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Sit there this afternoon, listen to that man of God preach to us, and marveled at how the message that he preached this afternoon, and that God laid on my heart in the earlier parts of this day to preach tonight, has just all fits together. Brother Fraser said this morning, how it all weaves together. Amen. And, you know, it's not just a sermon in the morning, sermon in the afternoon, sermon at night, but it's all one message from God that's dealing with our hearts, talking to us, and to our souls. And I want God to deal with me. Do you want God to deal with you tonight? You say, oh, preacher, I want to be blessed. Greatest manifestation of compassion is conviction. Said the greatest manifestation of compassion toward my soul is conviction. When God shows me that that's not right in my heart, He's manifesting love to me. You say, preacher, God won't love me tonight if He could give me a new car. Don't convict me. Give me. Listen, God give you a new car. Leave that sin alone, and you could be lost. But it can deal with that sin. Leave that new car alone, and you can be saved. So So let God deal with us tonight. Heavenly Father, as we prepare now to enter to the Word of God, I pray for the anointing. I pray for liberty. I pray, God, for a clear mind that can hear the voice of God. I'm asking you, Lord, to strengthen my body and my spirit that I might be used of heaven to deliver this message to the people of God in this great camp meeting that I've been so wonderfully blessed by asking to have a part. I pray, God, now that heaven would open up and the blessings of God would begin to flow into this place, into every heart, into every life, and every soul. Perhaps, oh God, there's a lost person in this house that does not know you. God, don't let them slip through our fingers tonight. Leave this place lost, but deal with their heart. A lukewarm soul, a discouraged spirit, one about ready, oh God, that one that's not ready for the rapture, deal with us, speak to us, bring us, oh God, into that right relationship, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you just slip your hand up and praise Him? Oh, I feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of the Lord. Chapter 17 of the book of 1 Kings, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying unto Elijah, "Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I want you to look at verse 4. The last part of that verse, God said, "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I want to preach to you tonight on a very childish and simple subject. And by childish, I mean, how many of you have ever traveled with children in the back seat of the car? What did they say? What did they ask about every 2.5 miles? "Are we there yet?" So tonight I want to preach in this camp meeting service on the thought, "Are we there yet?" I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Are we there yet? I wanted you to ask yourself the question, "Am I there?" I want you to be there before you leave this tabernacle tonight. To know that one is a child of God, it's the most wonderful and comforting thing that you can know, no matter the time or the season. Anytime, anywhere, under any and all circumstances, my relationship with Christ is the source my greatest joy. Can you say amen? I said all the time, doesn't matter if the sun is shining, if it's raining, doesn't matter if I've got, you know, gas in the tank or the tank's on empty. It's a wonderful time to be a child of God, and knowing that I'm a child of God is the source of the greatest joy of my life. But when the winds of change are blowing, when tomorrow is so uncertain, when the future has the possibility of becoming difficult, is a blessed time to be in the secret place of the Most High and to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, with what I'm seeing in this world tonight, I am glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. I'm glad that I can say that I'm one of them. When there's a flood coming, it's a wonderful time to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. I saw God. I said, when there's a flood coming and they're on the horizon, that's a wonderful time to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. When the winds and waves are pounding on the ship and trying to take her down, that's a good time to know that Jesus is on board. Can you say amen? Oh, dear God, I can tell you tonight, when this whole world is trembling and rotting and reeling under the pressures of sin, I'm glad that I know a rock that has a cleft, and I can hide myself in the cleft of that rock. Ladies and gentlemen, we know not today what tomorrow's going to bring. We know not today what we're going to be facing in the future. But I can tell you one thing, as I see that news and I see the direction of this world, my desire is not for wealth. My desire is not for riches. My desire is not for fame. But as I see this thing winding down to the end, my desire and the shout of my heart is, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Oh, I said, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, because I have His promise that He will never forsake the righteous and that His seed will never beg bread. I have no idea what we're facing in America. I have no idea where we will be if the Lord tarries, what our situation will be this time next year. I do know what I feel in my heart. I do understand the burden and the heaviness that's in my soul. I do know that something is on the horizon. I'm looking for the rapture. But if the terrorist is coming, I can think of a lot of possibilities. I knelt, my God, we're going to have church here tonight. I knelt this morning in that prayer meeting right there beside that platform. I prayed and cried out to God. I said, God, don't ever let me lead your people wrong. This burden that I feel in my heart, this heaviness that I feel, that I must cry out and warn your people, that I must warn them now that there's clouds on the horizon. I said, God, if this is not of your spirit, then lift it from my heart. Then lift it from my soul. If everything's going to be all right, everything's going to stay as it is. But God, don't let my God. But ladies and gentlemen, I feel such a burden on my heart to tell you tonight that there's such possibilities on the horizon that you and I need to find a proper relationship with God tonight, that we may be ready to face whatever's coming upon us tomorrow. I realize, and I'm fully aware, that in a meeting such as this, that there's got to be diversities of opinion when it comes to end time prophecies and things that are coming our way. We got a lot of different folks in this world believe a lot of different things. I said a couple of weeks ago, listened to a man expound and preach some of his ideas of the way the end time is going to unfold. And I can promise you that I thoroughly disagreed with him. But I didn't fall out with him. And I didn't get angry with him. And I didn't say, I'll never go here and preach again. Come on, somebody. But I just said, Lord, I don't believe it that way. But he could, you know, who knows? He does. So if you disagree with what I'm about to tell you, then, you know, just treat me with the same kindness that I treated that man, and everything will be okay. Is that all right? But I am looking for Jesus to come tonight. I am not expecting to be here when Antichrist is revealed. If you believe it, you can shout. If you've got another idea and you want to go through the tribulation, then dear God bless you. That's all I got to say. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I'm worried about, as Paul said, I want to bear in my body, as was physical, mind, spiritual, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe with all of my heart. I've read this book, you know, for a long time, 40 years now. I've been preaching the gospel, and everything I read assures me, and especially Daniel's vision and prophecy of that 70th week that God is going to deal with Israel. I can see nothing at all but the fact that between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, when He comes back to rule or to put down the enemy and Armageddon, there is a 7-year period in there that we got. I can't see it any other way reading the Word of God. But I said, but, and I just want you to know I believe that. I'm looking for Jesus to come tonight. I don't think I'm going to have to stay here and either accept or reject the mark of the beast. I've accepted Christ. But Jesus said something that troubles me just a little. Jesus talked to His disciples about a period of time that He called the beginning of sorrows. Now you read it all, especially the 70th week of Daniel. And if you can come up with anything other than 7 years, 1 week of years, between the rapture and the second coming of Christ, just please show me that. I've not been able to. But that time that Christ called the beginning of sorrows tells us that we may have to face some dreadful things before the rapture. A time that's not a part of that 7 years. A time that's not a part of Jacob's trouble. A time that's not a part of that time when God deals with Israel. But a time of trouble and a time of sorrow prior to the coming of the Lord. You read it. Tell me what. So you know what I think? We tonight may be about to enter into that time that Christ called the beginning of sorrows. I believe you're agreeing with me here. Huh? So some people think, you know, everything's going to be just lovely. Right up to the time of the rapture, the stock market's going out the roof. Gas is $1.50 a gallon. You don't believe that, do you? That everything's just going to be lovely. Jesus is going to come. Overnight, the world's going to go in a mess. And Antichrist is going to take... No, ladies and gentlemen. This world is going to be set for Antichrist when Jesus comes. And the Bible said He would not be revealed under the one that restrained Him. He now let it will let until He be taken out of the way. But this world will be setting ready for that Antichrist when the church is
keeping him from being revealed tonight is a church blood wash filled with the Holy Ghost. And when we're gone, he comes. Time to get this message introduced here. Go ahead and preach. Antichrist is going to come, take over all of the governments of the world, and every government in this world is going to give their power to Antichrist because of three areas that the world's having problems in. And Antichrist is going to be a genius in those three areas, and the world's going to see in him the ability to fix those three things, and so they're going to turn the governments over to him. Number one, religion's going to be in a mess. And Antichrist and that false prophet are going to work wonders with the world's religions. You say, preacher, I don't think they can fix it. Well, they can after we're gone. Because we won't be here to get in their way. Hey, amen. That ecumenical movement. You know that one church, that world church, that movement had a meeting some time ago in Chicago, I heard. And their little lawyer, you know, they're trying to, they want to achieve full ecumenicity. That's a pretty word for ugly deeds, I can tell you that. They want to achieve full ecumenicity. And their little shirt-tail lawyer got up, they said, I heard a red, made a speech and said, we will never achieve full ecumenicity as long as we've got some of these little sects running around here that won't agree with us. Let me tell you who he's talking about. He's talking about tongue-talking. Folks, he's talking about holiness, folks. He's talking about Pentecostal folks. But I wish I could talk to that little lawyer tonight. I'd tell him, just sit still, little buddy. It's not very long under those folks that are standing in your way are going to be out of here. Well, can somebody give it praise?
Religion's in a mess tonight. When denominations are ordaining homosexuals as priests and preachers. Secondly, Antichrist is going to be, through the work of that false prophet, a religious genius, and is going to be able to bring it all under one head, fix it. Secondly, the economy. The economy is going to be in such trouble. And Antichrist is going to come, and the Bible said he'll make craft to prosper. In other words, he will fix the world's economy. Whoa! Are you with me still? Thank God. And thirdly, religion, the economy, and politics are going to be in a mess, and Antichrist is going to be a wizard of a politician, and he's going to be able to fix religion, the economy, and the political climate of the world. And the world is going to say, our Messiah has come. The world, when there's no more wars over religion, the economy is fixed, politics are smooth, the world will have peace. Hallelujah. For a short period of time. So that's what Antichrist is going to do. Fix religion, fix the economy, and fix politics. Then listen to me. Religion, the economy, and politics have got to be in a mess before the church ever gets out of here. I mean, everything's not going to be lovely until the rapture takes place, and then overnight, oh, you say, preacher, it's already that way. So the world's getting ready for Antichrist. So I'm not preaching to you tonight, and I want you to understand, I'm not preaching to you to prepare for the tribulation.
I'm preaching to you to prepare for the rapture and the coming of the Lord. But I am telling you that because Christ said there was a time called the beginning of sorrows, we don't know what we're going to face between now and the coming of the Lord. Somebody raise your hand and say, help me to stand, Lord. My God. I'm going to say it one more time. Don't anybody leave here and say, that preacher, we're going through the... No, no. It's going to be 7 years between that rapture and the second coming. But because Christ said these times, when you see these things, these are the beginning of sorrows. God only knows what we're going to face. So having said that, now let's get on a little further. This November, we're going to elect a president. Or if you would allow me to make a little correction to that statement. We're going to elect a man to fill the office of president. I'm not sure that we're going to elect a president. A president is a leader. And I'm shocked. I got my heart grieves within me to think where this country's headed. But I'm not here to preach to you to vote for president. I'm going to let God tell you that. And I hope you'll let Him. But it really doesn't matter. Listen to me. As far as what I'm about to say is concerned, September 11th, 2001, America was attacked by people whose avowed goal in life is to wipe Israel and the United States of America off the face of the map. They hate you because you're an American. I don't know how you feel about George Bush, and I don't care. He's about out anyway. But here it is, July of 2008. Since 9/11, we have not had a terrorist attack on the shores of America because George W. Bush took the war to them. You may not want us to be in Iraq. I don't either. But I'd rather fight them there than I had here. I can tell you that. But that man's response to that attack on 9/11 is the only thing that has kept us from having another attack up until this time. Listen, he dug one dictator out of a gopher hole and hung him, and the rest of those dictators don't want to die under George Bush administration. And so you know what they're doing? Those dictators, those leaders, those states that sponsor terrorism, they want to destroy America as much tonight as they did on 9/11. They want to destroy it, but you know what they're doing? They're telling their boys to lay low, to be still, to be quiet. Don't do anything to that cowboy from Texas. It's out of the White House, because if you attack America, he'll do the same thing to me that he did to the Saddam Hussein. I can promise you, and I'm not a member of the CIA, I just got the Holy Ghost. But I can promise you tonight, if we knew the truth, those heathen dictators have said to their troops, wait, January, Bush will be gone, we'll have a new president, we'll see how he responds to a terrorist attack. Doesn't matter which one gets elected. Just as sure as you're in this tabernacle tonight, they want to know how Barack Obama or John McCain would respond to an attack on American soil. And there's only one way to find out how we would respond, and that is to attack us. That makes sense to you? They knew how the last one responded. And when Bush went in, they said, we wonder what he'd do. They found out. He bombed them to smithereens. So we've got just a few more months. And if I see this thing right, we're going to be attacked again by the terrorists. I'm sorry to tell you that, but if you believe I'm telling you the truth, say amen. And if I'm going to hit you, I'm going to hit you in the weakest point of your life that I can find. What's the weakest point in America right now as far as society and the world is concerned? It's the energy market and the price of gas. I don't know about you, but if these gas prices are not hurting you, you got a lot more than I got. My gas bill last month was $731 for gasoline. I paid it Monday before I left to get on that jet. And I don't know about you, but a $731 a month gasoline bill is cutting deep into what John and I are making. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me any more than I feel sorry for you, because you're paying more up here than I'm paying in Mississippi. I just paid $389 the weekend. Dear God, that's cheap compared to what I'm seeing here. But that is our vulnerability. You listen to this preacher. You listen to me. One terrorist attack one night hit three refineries in the United States of America, and gas is $100 a gallon if you can find it. Camp meeting, preacher, you're supposed to make us shaft. That's what I'm going to do. I just got to get you way down where I can pick you back up. I mean, you know, I'm not prophesying. I'm just showing you possibilities. The Midwestern part of our nation is our breadbasket. Population of America tonight is what? I forgot. How many? 310 million. How many of those are farmers? 4%, if I remember correctly. 310 million people, and 4% of them are farmers. That means 4 people out of every 100 feeding the rest of us. But tonight, the breadbasket of the United States is underwater. The crops are not planted. Jesus said there would be a time that He called the beginning of sorrows. No, I'm not here to depress you. I'm here to make you glad you're a Christian. I'm here to make you happy that you're saved. Now we get to our message. What I'm going to encourage you to do tonight is to look at the life of Elijah and see how God took care of him in a time of trouble, and see if we can't find out what we... My God, say amen to me. I want to tell you, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Lo, I am with you always, brother and sister. And the darker it gets out there, the more happy I am that I know the light of the world. The darker it gets, the more glad I am that I am plugged in to the light of the world. And I know the bread of life. So no, I'm not here to depress you. I'm here to make you glad that you're a child of God at such a time as this. So now let's look at Elijah. I like Elijah. You know, it just may be that Elijah's maybe my favorite old-time Old Testament hero. Tell you one thing, when you look at that man, you study his life, there wasn't a sissy bone in him. That was a man. You talk about your Samson all you want to. I like him too. I mean, you got to be much of a man to go out there and catch 300 fox. I mean, he's digging them out of holes and holler trees. You got to be some kind of man to put a fox under this arm and a fox under this arm, grab a tail in this hand, a tail in this hand, and have a lighter notch. Come on. have a fat pine splinter burning, holding between your teeth. And you got a fox under this arm, and a fox under this arm, a tail in each hand, and you're holding this burning reed in your mouth, and you're tying those two tails together round that reed. Drop those foxes. Get out of here, boy. Pick you up too. Come on. That's a man. And those fox run out there with that firebrand between their tails and burn the Philistines' corn. You go, boy. But I liked Elijah. Bible called him a Tishbite from Gilead. He wasn't a city slicker from New York, I can tell you that. Gilead and Tishbite's on the other side of the river. Are you listening to me? I read that one time. I said, what kind of person is a Tishbite? You know, not fish bite now, tish bite. So I studied a little bit. He's smarter than I am, then no more than I do. But I studied a little bit. I never did get a chance to go to Bible school. I did go to school. I did get a little bit of college. I just want you to know that. But when I get excited, I don't worry about that. It's ain't and can't and mater and tater and Jesus is coming. But the land of Tishbe, we find in the land of Elijah, was a land of half-civilized people. They tell us the people in Tishbe lived in caves. Cavemen. Half-wild. I want you to see this old boy. You get that picture in your mind. Cavemen lived in caves. Dear God, didn't know what a pair of shoes was. Just had some kind of piece of an old animal skin wrapped around him. Oh God, about half civilized, about half wild. But I want to tell you one thing, the Holy Ghost got in that cave, and the Spirit of God got in that cave, and He said to that man, he's never been to school a day in his life. He doesn't know anything about the constellations. He doesn't know anything about the zodiac. But God speaks to Elijah and said, listen to me, boy, I'm putting you in charge of the National Weather Service. And you need to go to Ahab and give him a weather forecast. Holy Ghost made a meteorologist out of him. And he hadn't even been to kindergarten yet. That guy came out of that cave. Gnawed the last bite of meat off of that bone. Threw it down, brushed the crumbs out of his beard. Those bare feet, skin on the bottom of those feet about that thick. He eases off down there to that Jordan River. Swims that river. My God. God didn't even have to divide the waters for him. I believe he just jumped in and swam it. Mother God may need him another wild man or two around here. Say amen to me, somebody. God may need another who swam that Jordan River. Walked up to Ahab's palace in Samaria. Brother, you got that picture of old Samson with those fox under his arm. I want you to get this picture of old Elijah. Got a bear skin on for a suit. My God, would you listen to me? And oh, be that my God. And he walks up to Ahab's palace and he meets up with some guards out there in their shining armor and their helmets and their spears and their swords. And this man walks up there and they say, who are you? He said, don't make no difference who I am. What are you here for? He said, I'm the new National Weather Service. Say amen to me, somebody. And I've come to give Ahab a weather forecast. Glory be to God. They said, Ahab, do you have a... No. I ain't got no appointment. I don't have a pastor. You're not going in there. He said, you watch me and see. And I see him stand there and single-handed whip about six of those guards, knock them into oblivion, kick that door down, walks in there and said, Ahab, here's the latest weather report.
Just come to tell you, Ahab, ain't gonna be no rain, no dew, till you see me again. God's put me in charge of the weather forecasting around here. Oh, Ahab turned pale as a ghost, looked at that wild man, saw all of his guards laying there unconscious. Went to screaming Jezebel. He knew if he had any hope of anybody doing anything, it'd be her. I'm kidding. No more in temples that's constructed with hands, but he dwelleth even in the house of that wild man walked out of that palace. And so, in the New Testament, guards, they began set him up against the wall and said, you'll wake up that wild. In that upper room, and when they were gathered together, down the road. Let me tell you something about this story. It's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And it's going to get just as dry for Elijah as it does for Ahab. I mean, listen to me. Gas, $4.25 a gallon. You're not going to find a gas station anywhere in America that you can drive up to it and it says $4.25 a gallon unless you're a Christian. And you can get it for $2.29. Oh, say amen. I said you're not going to find a gas station anywhere in America. It says $4.25 a gallon unless you're a Christian and you just pay $2.29. It's going to get just as dry for Elijah as it does for Ahab. Went to Walmart the other night, bought bread in Laurel, Mississippi. That kind my wife likes. She's going to have to start liking something else. We went through the checkout and that lady scanned that loaf of bread and it was $2.50 a loaf. I almost said a gallon. And the cashier looked at us and said, this is awful. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find me a Walmart somewhere. It says bread, $2.50 a loaf, except for Christians. You can get yours for $1.25. This world will show no more mercy on you because you're a child of God as it does that heathen out there. You say, well, preacher, what's the benefit of being saved? Because God will take care of his own. So now let's preach a little, would you? God gave Elijah 3 specific instructions. You better listen to what God is saying to you tonight. If there's something wrong, you better let God tell you how to make it right. If there's something broken, you better ask God to tell you how to fix it. My God, say amen. Pastor Fraser, you got on those old grudges today. Because you're about to need God more than you've ever needed Him. So He told Ahab 3 things. Number one, He said, get thee hence.
In other words, he said Elijah, gave Elijah three specific instructions. He said to Elijah, do this. In other words, he said, Elijah, facing what you're facing, you cannot stay where you are. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. And he said, Elijah, facing what you're facing, facing 3.5 years without rain or dew, you can't stay where you are. You listen to the little hillbilly preacher from Mississippi. What I tell you tonight in this camp meeting, ladies and gentlemen, facing what I'm facing in this uncertain world and facing the possibilities that you're facing tonight, you cannot afford to stay where you are. You've got to move. You've got to find your place. You've got to get close to God. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Lukewarm soul, you can't stay where you are tonight. Facing what you're facing. Angry soul, you cannot stay where you are, facing what you're facing. Jealous soul, you cannot stay where you are, facing what you're facing. And my God, I teach them my son to the Messiah. Come on, Holy Ghost, move in this house. You've got to move. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, preacher, I've been living in that house down by that road for 40 years. I'm not talking about that kind of move. I'm talking about that kind of move that takes place in the heart that draws you closer and closer and closer. You've got anger. You've got jealousy. You've got malice. You've got lust. You've got pride. You've got the things and the spirit of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, when the bread basket of the nation is underwater, when the price of gas is going through the ceiling, when most likely we'll get a terrorist attack next year, how in the world can you afford to sit there and nurse that anger and nurse that jealousy and nurse that pride? You've got to move. Some of us are not ready for what's coming. I have commanded the ravens to feed you not here, but there. If Elijah's going to survive, he's got to go there, not stay here. I'm talking to somebody tonight. God will excuse. No. If you're going to survive, you've got to go there, not stay here. Do you notice how the Holy Ghost has settled this place? That somebody can hear the Word of God. Let me tell you something, Brother Massey. Wherever there is, this old boy is going. Because he is my only hope. You may have another source, but he is my only source. And I have no choice but to go there. Not stay here. Somebody close your eyes and lift your hands and say, God, I can't stay here. I must go there. He's talking to you, isn't he? I'm going to tell you a story that I don't like to tell. But I feel like telling you something. You know, I want to obey God. Several years ago, I had a man that did me wrong. We won't go into details. It just did me wrong. Sometimes we just think folks do us wrong. But he did me wrong. Spirit of jealousy, what was, you know, he came to me, God, I'm sure dealt with his heart, and he came to me and apologized, and, you know, I had to say it. I said, okay, I forgive you, brother. One morning I woke up. My wife was out of bed. You know, I believe in being fair. I believe this marriage stuff is a 50-50 deal. I really do. I believe it's a give and take. I don't think the man ought to be first all the time. How many of you agree with that? So I try to make that work at my house. I go to bed first. So I let my wife get up first. Just to be fair. And I mean, I don't want to be. I'm kidding. I don't want to be first off. She's out of bed in the kitchen, and my eyes opened up. I'm a preacher of the gospel, pastoring church, preaching meetings all over the country. My eyes came open that morning, and the first voice I heard was the voice of God. I'm not even awake good. And the Holy Ghost says to me, you hate that man. Now that's some way to get awoke, aroused in the morning. I laid there in that bed and I said, God, I don't hate him. I said, I'll admit I don't like him. But I don't hate him. Laying in the bed, me and God talking. And I said these words to God. I said, God, I've never hated a man in my life. And this is what God said to me. You do now. Now, I don't know if I went back to sleep and had a dream or if I had a vision. But I saw my heart. And there growing out of my heart was just a little bitty seedling where a seed had been planted. And it had just barely come up, and it was just about that high. And the Spirit said, there it is. Like to have scared me to death. I jumped up out of that bed, put on my clothes, went in that kitchen and told that girl of mine, my precious wife, you ready for your coffee? No. I said, I'm headed to the church. She said, now? I said, yes. Well, I said, I'm going to pray. She said, when will you be back? You know, have you back? I said, I don't know when I'll be back. But I knew one thing. If I was going to expect God to do anything for me, I couldn't stay where I was. You've got to go there. You can't stay here. I went to my church, I knelt in that carpet and buried my face, and I repented before God. And this is what I told God. I said, I will not leave this place. I will not leave this spot. I will not get up off of this carpet until I have that same vision again. You're going to have to give it to me the second time. I'm going to have to see my heart again. And I'm going to have to know that it's all gone by the grace. Come on, somebody. Say, man, I hate to tell you that, see. I'm like, Pastor, afraid you thought I was perfect up till now, didn't you? I don't know how long I laid there. But I wept. And I cried. Sometime after a while, call it what you want to call it, a trance or whatever, but I had that very same vision. I was there looking down on my body, and there was that heart. I could see it as if my flesh was transparent. There was that heart, Brother David. Except this time, that little bitty seedling was not there. It was all clean. and it was all gone. And I went and found that man and put my arms around him and said, I want you to know one thing, buddy. I love you from the depths of my heart. And he said to Elijah that you can't stay where you are if you're going to survive, if you're going to make it, my God, through this drought. Oh, God, I've got my temptation to my car. I got to preach a little, but I got to tell somebody here tonight that you can't stay where you are if you're expecting God to see you through. You got to go there. You can't stay here.
To Mount Carmel and to meet him there with all his false prophets, and they were going to have a.
But he's repenting right now.
Was really God.
I feel that. You're repenting because you hadn't been praying or reading your Bible. God's hearing your prayer. Secondly. The second thing he did, you got it right there, hadn't you? He said, get thee hence, and what? Turn eastward. I mean, dear God, what difference does it make which way I go? Did you tell me that? East. I mean, why didn't he say go west? You ready to have church? What happens in the east? That's where a new day is born in the east. That's where you forget the things that are behind you. Say, amen. My God, I sat there this afternoon and said, you ain't going to leave me nothing to preach. Preaching it all. Amen. But he said, listen, don't you walk that way moaning over the day that's dying. Don't you walk that way grieving over the day that's passing. My God, could somebody say amen? Don't you go that way watching the sun go down with tears in your eyes and saying, I didn't ever want this day to come to a close. I liked it like it was. I loved it like it was. I loved it when gas, a lean was $1.50 a gallon. I loved it when bread was 8 or 9 cents a loaf. Come on, somebody say amen. But he said, don't you go that way and moan over the day that's a dying. But you turn toward the east and start anticipating that new day that's about to be born. My God, give him praise. Young people, listen to me. I have three sons. My oldest son, Scott's a pastor. Some of you met him. My middle son, my younger son, they're great men of God working with us there in the church. My middle son's one of my deacons. And figure that out. Tim, the youngest boy, is our organist. But a few days ago, I was talking to my sons about the possibilities of what may be coming. Listen to me, young people. My boy said, Daddy, please. One of my boys said to me, Daddy, please don't talk like that. I want everything to stay like it is. I want to raise a family. I'm sorry, son. It's not like it was anymore. I'm sorry. My lifestyle has changed since gasoline went up. Yours has too. Some of you won't go to the Grand Canyon this year. Because gasoline's up. You go down to Booger Hollow and put up a tent and camp a night or two, but that's, you know. Daddy, don't talk like that. I want things to stay like they are. But what did he tell Elijah? He said, boy, don't walk toward the west. If that's east, that's got to be west. Don't walk toward the west crying and moaning over a day that's dying. But walk toward the east. in anticipation of a brand new day that's about to be born. I'm sorry that in America men are allowed to marry men. I'm sorry that in America it's legal to kill a baby. I'm sorry that in America they don't let you pray in school. I'm sorry that in America they won't let you wear a shirt to school with Jesus on it. A lot of places. I'm sorry that in America the church has grown cold so many times. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to look toward the West, Brother Eastman, and weep over a day that's dying. You turn around and look, Lot's wife. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start walking toward that new day that's a-coming. That's about to dawn. My God, can somebody say amen? He said, you go that way, buddy. I got to say it one more time. My wife said if I wouldn't say everything six times, it wouldn't take near as long to preach. Don't you walk toward the west and moan and cry over a day that's dying. But you turn to the east in anticipation of a new day that's coming. I'm looking that way tonight. I'm expecting a new day that's about to dawn when I won't even need gasoline. Glory be to God. I won't even need gasoline. I'm looking, my God, at the most sunned up my tire. A new day where night will ever come. No sin, brother and sister. I don't think it's very long to God Almighty. It's going to look at Gabriel and say, Gabriel, get your trumpet, son, and blow it loud. Oh, blow it loud. Blow it loud. Blow it loud. The old Gabriel look over there and say, now, just how loud do you want me to blow it, Lord? And he says, boy, I want you to blow it so loud it'll wake up the dead. You know, you reckon he's really going to be able to get our loved ones out of those graves? What do you think? Reckon he's really going to be able to get my old grandmother out of that grave? Left this world. Her dying words, you listen to me. Her mind gone. Even in the absence of her rationale, her mind gone every 10, 15 minutes laying in that bed, didn't know me from Adam. But every few minutes she'd say, let's pray. And she'd cut loose a prayer. Then she'd lay there and just mumble and talk, and nobody knew what she was saying, made no sense at all. 15 minutes or so later, she'd say, let's pray! Yeah, come on. And cut loose a prayer. Yeah. Then finally, one day, my uncle told me, he said, I knew Mama was taking her last breath 2 weeks shy of her 90th birthday. I knew it was over. He said, I picked that frail body up in my arms and held her to my breast. And she took her last breath. Sometimes when I got time, I'll tell you what that grandmother went through to serve God. I don't have time tonight. But he said, I held her, laying there with her eyes closed. Had a last breath coming, and said all of a sudden she opened her eyes and she looked away and she said, open up them gates. Closed her eyes and was gone. You reckon the Lord's going to be able to get my grandmother out of that grave? Well, all I know is this. of a lion's den. He got Jonah out of the belly of a whale. He got Paul and Silas out of a Philippian jail. And I do believe that he's going to be able to get our loved ones out of that grave. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain are going to rise. And together with him we're going to meet the Lord in the air. I'm not crying over a day that's dying. But I'm walking east anticipating a day that's about to be born. You ought to praise him. You ought to praise him.
Yes, Lord. What's the third thing he told him to do? Get thee.
Hide thyself by the brook.
Which is?
Before Jordan.
Now the scripture, you know, doesn't bear out a lot of this, but all of our religious songs and our poems and our religious dialogue, Jordan is that dividing line that separates us from this world to the next. Am I right? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Get away, get away, get away, Jordan. I want to cross over to see my Lord. Jordan, the dividing line between this world and the next. And he said, Cherith is right there before Jordan, boy. In other words, he said, get just as far from Ahab's world as you can get. And get just as close to my world as you can get. Dear God, don't camp down there in Timbuktu. But you camp on the banks of the Jordan River. You separate yourself. You get to where I want you. And then you know what he said? He said, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He didn't say, I commanded the ravens to feed you. He didn't say, I commanded the ravens to bring you bread and flesh twice a day. But he said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And I'm asking you the question, are we there yet? Stay where you are. Moan and cry. Because gas is going to $5 a gallon. Get down. Get depressed. Stay as close to this world as you can. You love starved death. I said you love starved death. But go there. And he's promised to take care of you. Are we there yet, Brother John? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I ain't staying where I'm at. I'll tell you one thing. I ain't walking west. Give him a hand clap. They brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Bread and flesh in the evening. I want you to stand with me tonight. There is only one place my God put up a satire. The Holy Ghost of God is in this house. There is only one place that Abraham can get acquainted with Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Somebody come to the sergeant. He said, you take that boy, you go to the mountain, the one that I show you. And I want to tell you, while Ahab and Isaac was going up one side of that mountain, there was a ram coming up the other side.
and they met right on top. And Abraham got acquainted with the God that provides. I want you to raise your hands and worship God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Listen to me just before we come and find ourselves in our place in this altar. I want you to look at me as I close. This is the way Job said it. Job said, there is a path that the vulture's eye has not seen. Woo! Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. I said, Job said, there is a path that the vulture's eye hath not seen, and the lion's whelp has not trodden. Job said, if I can get there, I don't have to worry about dying. There's a path that the vulture's eye has not seen. Ladies and gentlemen, in this day that I believe is the beginning of sorrows, I challenge you to go there, to find that place in God. Play, sister. Anybody want to go there tonight? Make your way to this altar. Come on. Brother Frazier, you're shaking hands with a man that's not crying and moaning over a day that's dying. I want you to stand on me. Let's just stand. Come on, come on, come on. All of you come. Everybody come. You need salvation, come. You need the Holy Ghost, come. You need He, come. But here's what I want you to do tonight. If you need salvation, you're not saved, you need salvation, if you'll just come right on up to the front, we'll know and we'll pray with you and help you find Christ. Other than that, we're going to pray where we are. How many people tonight, along with myself, could be honest and raise your hands and say, God, I realize that I must not stay here. I need to go there. Do you need salvation, my brother? Somebody help this man find grace. Raise your hands and be honest with God. And say, God, facing what we're facing, I cannot stay here. I must go there. Where is there, preacher? It's closer to God. It's a clean heart. A clean soul. It's a clean... Brother Massey, I got to go there. I got to find that place in God. Come on, raise your hand. Listen, listen. If you're living in the land of jealousy, tell him, God, I can't stay in this land of jealousy. I got to go there. Land of fear, land of pride. Do you know Jesus? Young man, do you know Jesus Christ? You do know Him as your Savior. Praise Him. Lift both hands and praise Him. Are you a child of God? Do you know Him? Do you want to know Him? Young lady, do you know Him? You do. You know Him. Praise Him. Come on, lift your hands. Is there, everybody here knows Jesus? Just be honest with Him and say, God, I cannot stay in this land of pride. I got to get where You want me to be. There's only one place that raven's going to come. And that's in that there. I want you to reach out and take somebody by the hand. Just take somebody by the hand. And I want us to pray together, God, we are looking for the rapture. But if this is that day that You spoke of, that is the beginning of sin, we don't know what the possibilities are. See, those terrorists attack America. Should we not have the money to live? Come on, somebody. Let's pray for one another. God, help every person in this house to get out of that place of lukewarmness, that place of sin, and find that place in God. Come on, pray, my God, pray. Come on, folks, talk to God.